Have you ever stopped to consider the value and the purpose of your possessions? Now, I think that's a key word, not just the value, but also the purpose of your possessions. Now, in today's society, it's very easy to become so consumed with accumulating wealth and possessions. But as followers of Christ, we must remember that the real purpose and meaning on earth does not evolve around riches. So as we continue our look at the parables today, we're going to be examining a passage from the book of Luke where Jesus shares a parable about the folly of temporary riches. And yet, that's another key word, temporary riches. So grab your Bible, turn it to Luke chapter 12, and we'll be back in just a second. Hey folks, we want to welcome you to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us this evening. I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. So if you've got your Bible, please go ahead and turn on over there with us. And we're going to look at this particular scripture text that's dealing with temporary riches. And I mentioned in our introduction that one of the things is that we have so many people who are chasing temporary riches while they're here on this earth. And Jesus begins to essentially to put this in perspective. So we're going to go ahead and look at passages out of Luke chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading at verse 16. So that's Luke chapter 12. Beginning with verse 16, it says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time today. Father, as we come to you again, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace for each and every one of us. And Lord, today I pray that your Holy Spirit would move within us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each and every listener, that we might hear the Holy Spirit and evaluate where our life is in our walk with you, particularly as it concerns riches. Lord, prayerfully today we will see that we are laying up our riches in heaven rather than here on this temporal earth. So, Father, for these next few moments, I just ask that you would help lead and guide me as I present your word, that it would be clear, simple, and logical to the hearer. And then, Lord, I also pray that, as always, you'll give us the courage and the strength to make adjustments that need to be made in your presence that would draw us closer to you. Father, as always, we pray that if there's one that doesn't know you, that today would be the day that your Holy Spirit's conviction in their life would be so strong that they cannot turn their back upon you. So, Lord, again, bless each and every life, each and every listener, just for having come around your word today. As Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we're looking at this particular parable, this is probably one that many of us have heard before, and it's a story. You know, it's a story of a man who is essentially has a lot. Okay, as we read this parable, you know, we can see that Jesus is addressing a very large crowd of people, and that large crowd of people included his disciples. So he's been teaching them about the dangers of hypocrisy and the importance of living a life that is truly dedicated to God. Now, as we think, you know, a lot of times people would sit back and say, well, how does this particular parable fit into the context of what Jesus was talking to the crowd and his followers and his disciples about? Well, one of the things is that we can get distracted so easily. Riches is one of the biggest ways that you and I can get distracted in our life and in our society. We can find our focus more towards trying to chase the dollar down than being everything that God wants us to be and being able to be used by him for the kingdom and for the glory, and using the gain that we have for the kingdom and his glory as well. So keep that in mind, that Jesus is telling this parable to a bunch of people. Now, once again, I want to define what a parable is. A parable is a story that is being told. Generally, it's a fictitious story, but it's a story that people can understand, that is designed to drive home a spiritual point in the case of Jesus. It's something that they can kind of make a comparison and go, ah, okay, I understand that story you've told, so now I can understand this biblical truth as well. Now, in this parable, he is using the example of the rich man to illustrate a deeper spiritual truth, okay? So the rich man in this parable is described as someone who is very successful in his pursuits. Now, I know that you and I can probably think of some people who fit this bill very, very well. You look at them and you say, according to the world standards, they're very successful. You know, they've got money, they've got power, they've got so many different things. And probably as you thought about this, there was somebody that came to your mind, okay? So when we consider this rich man, he is described as someone who is very successful in his pursuits. His land has produced an abundance of crops. And he already has enough as far as barns to be able to store them. So this is not a guy who just had like one barn over there, and when he brought his brought his field in, he put them in the barn and he had more. No, his barns, and I say that as in more than one, his barns, plural, essentially he had enough to be able to store up in that. But not only did he have enough, he actually had more. But instead of being content with what he has, he becomes consumed with greed and he becomes consumed with pride. I can just imagine what it was like. You know, he's sitting back going, you see all these barns out here on my property? Each and every one of them is full of grain or whatever the crop that he was producing. And he's probably sitting there with his friends, and his friends were probably going, wow, man, that's plenty. I've never seen so much grain in my whole life, you know. And you don't just have one barn, you have a whole bunch of them, and you're telling me that each and every one of those is full? And he sits back and he goes, yep, that's right, every one of them is full. And yet he's sitting back saying, you know what, that's gaining me, you know, my pride, and people are looking at me saying, wow. And all of a sudden he did what a lot of people do in our society today. He got greedy. And he thought, well, if I have this, then certainly I can actually, you know, have more. So as he pondered his situation, his plan is that he's going to tear down his barns, remember that's plural, and build bigger ones so that he can hoard all of his possessions and live a life of ease and enjoyment. Now, I want to stop right here for just a minute, because sometimes people would sit back and say, well, that doesn't sound like, that he's being greedy, and that doesn't sound like he's being prideful. That just sounds like a shrewd businessman. Well, I think there's a fine line between those two as well. When it gets to the point that the riches are what drives you, then I think that goes beyond being a shrewd business person. And by the way, understand my heart when I say this. I don't think that there's anything wrong with planning, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with a plan to prosper by any stretch of the imagination. But there's something that is a key factor in this particular parable today that we're going to come across in just a moment that I think is where this particular man in the parable stepped across that very fine line and onto the side that is not something that pleases God. Okay, so his plan is, I'm going to tear all these barns down. I'm going to build bigger ones so that I can just hoard up all of these possessions and I can live a life of ease and enjoyment. Now, some people would sit back and say, yeah, it's called a retirement plan. Well, to a degree, remember, there's a fine line. Okay, here's the problem. In the midst of his planning, God intervenes and he reveals the truth of this man's plan. He reveals a truth to this rich man, and God actually calls him a fool. And here's the reason why. He called him a fool because he was so focused on accumulating temporary riches that he neglected to be rich toward God. There's that fine line that I was talking about. You know what? It's not a problem. I know and that God actually has smiled upon a lot of folks that I know. He has given them so much. He's giving them a lot monetarily. But one of the other things that I've noticed about most of those people that I've seen that God has blessed with riches is that from the Christian viewpoint, they have actually used that accumulation of wealth to use for His honor and for His glory. These are the folks that look at their their money and their riches and say, this is not mine, this is God's, and whatever God wants to use it for, I am more than happy to write the check when it comes that time. And not only do they say that, they back that up. They've done that before. Yeah, I said many, many years ago that there were folks that when I was a youth pastor that would come to me that fit this bill. You know, they had wealth. They had accumulated wealth, not in a bad way, but they'd come to me and they'd say, well, Pastor Roy, listen, if you're going to a youth camp and you've got some youth that can't afford to be able to go, you just come and let me know and I'll take care of it. So each and every year when there were those that couldn't make it, I would go and I would say, hey, look, you know, so-and-so. Of course, obviously, I'm not going to call them by name on a broadcast, but I'd sit back and say, hey, look, I've got, you know, I got five kids that cannot afford to go to youth camp. Now, this was 30 years ago, and that was somewhere around $200 per kid 30 years ago. So that was a lot of money. So I said, it's $200 apiece. I got five kids that can't go. Never once did this guy ever bat an eye. And he said, so you need $1,000? And I said, yep, I need $1,000. He'd write that check. He didn't want me to say anything about who he was. He never wanted me to mention it. All he did was wrote a check. I would put it in there. I would put it towards scholarship funds for our young people. And the Lord would bless him, because what he did, he didn't do for his own pride, for his own sake. He did it because essentially he understood and knew that that was God's money, and all he was a steward. So when I went and said, hey, look, God needs a little bit of his money for these five kids, he was like, how much and how many and how much? And he would write that check. So he had the right balance. Here was a guy in this parable that we're talking about that did not have that right balance. So, you know, in the midst of all this planning, oh, I'm going to tear these barns down. I'm going to build a bigger one over here, and I'm going to quadruple the size of each of these barns, and I'll have this much more. All of a sudden, God goes to him, and he says, you are a fool. God called him a fool. And again, what I said a moment ago was that he did so because this man was so focused on accumulating the temporary riches that he completely neglected to be rich toward God, okay? The rich man's soul, according to the scripture, was required of him that very night. And all of his possessions are going to be left behind for someone else to inherit. And, you know, I've heard people say before, they've jokingly said, well, you know what, I'm going to spend it all. I'm not going to leave anything behind for my kids to fight over. And you've seen that before. I will promise you that if you have any family members whatsoever, that somewhere down the line, somebody has gotten upset over an inheritance. They didn't get what they felt like they should, or they felt like this one got too much, or what have you. And all of a sudden, what happens is people are fighting over what has been left behind, okay? So the Lord is sitting back saying, you know what, you're going to work and work and work and to accumulate all this mass of wealth, and then, you know, you're going to die. In fact, he says, this night, this day, your soul shall be required of you. He said, you're going to die tonight. And then what's going to happen with all this? It's going to be left behind for someone else to inherit. And I'm not saying there's a problem with leaving something for someone to inherit. But the bottom line is, when he stands before his creator that night, he has nothing to show. His whole life has been essentially set forth to become more rich, to strive for the temporal things. And none of that is going to make it into heaven. You're not taking any of your money with you. You're not taking your bank accounts. You're not taking your investments or anything. Now, please, at this particular point, don't say that I'm sitting back saying, well, cash in your retirement and go out and blow it. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, I think you still need to be prepared. But the question is, are you being prepared in a godly way? Are you realizing that you are a steward of what God has given you? Or is your entire pursuit in this life over the things that are temporal? So let's take for just a moment the theological significance of our parable. You see, this parable teaches us a very important spiritual truth, and that is this, that the pursuit of earthly riches is ultimately futile, and it can lead us away from God. Now, most of you are sitting back going, well, yeah, I can see that. Some of you in your own life, the Holy Spirit has actually said, yeah, that's been you at some point. You have been so busy striving to boost the bank account that you haven't been doing anything to enrich your relationship or enrich your walk with the Lord. In fact, you've kind of put God on the back burner so that you can make more money, so that you can gain more power, or whatever the situation may be. See, the rich man in this parable had failed to be rich toward God, meaning that he had not used his wealth to honor and to serve God. Yeah, in fact, he had become so consumed with his earthly riches that he neglected his spiritual well-being. And right there is the factor. That is that fine line that we were talking about just a moment that some people have trouble stepping over. Let me repeat that for you. This man had become so consumed with his earthly riches that he neglected his spiritual well-being. And folks, let me remind you today that you're going to spend a lot more time in eternity, either with the Father or in that place which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever. You're going to spend a lot more time in eternity than you ever thought about while you're here on this earth. You know, sometimes when I think about things like this, it reminds me of a joke that was told where there was a man who said that he wanted to take all of his riches with him, when he died, and he wanted to be buried with all of his money and all of his gold. He was a big gold guy, so he had gold, and his thing was he wanted to be buried with all that gold. So when he passed away, they honored his request, and he was buried with all that gold. And keep in mind, this is a joke. So yeah, anyway, he gets to heaven, and he's got all this gold with him, and he's walking down the streets, and he's noticing that the people that are there are pointing and laughing at him. And so finally, he went up to one person and he said, well, why are you and everybody laughing at me? And there was a couple of other fellows that were sitting there, and one punches the other guy and he says, check this guy out. He brought up a load of pavement with him. Because remember, the word tells us that the streets of gold, the streets in heaven are as pure gold, so pure that it's transparent. So they were sitting there saying, this guy brought a load of pavement with him. Now, when you think about that particular contrast, the streets in heaven are worth more than you and I could ever accumulate on the face of this earth. So where have we spent our time? Have we spent our time laying up our treasures here on earth, or are we laying up our treasures in heaven? You see, this also reminds us that our time on earth is limited, and we cannot take our possessions with us when we die. You know, our focus should be on using what we have been given for God's purposes rather than hoarding it up for ourselves, rather than sitting back saying, well, what can I do with all this money, or sitting on top of it and letting the money lead us. Yeah, I love what the word says. The word says that you can't serve God and mammon being money. Yeah, and I love what a song that I heard back when I was younger, a younger man in youth, that said, yeah, one of those deserves your service, the other one should serve you. God is the one who deserves your service. The money should serve you, but it's because God has blessed you, because God has given it to you. And you have to realize that he has called us to be stewards. Remember, what is a steward? A steward is somebody who is in charge of something, somebody who is responsible of something. So you have to understand that it's not mine. The riches that I have don't belong to me. God has allowed me to hold them to be a steward for him. So do I get upset when God says, I want to use some of my money that you are holding to enrich my kingdom, which you are going to be a part of? Yeah, and sometimes what we do is we sit back and go, no, I'm not spending that, Lord. I'm just going to hold it. This is mine. This is mine. Don't do that. Folks, I love what the Bible also tells us, that God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and therefore, money's nothing to him. I mean, yeah, he could snap his fingers and your bank account could be, have more money in it than it's ever had or that you could ever imagine in your life. It all belongs to him, okay? So as we think about those things, how do we apply them to our lives today? As followers of Christ, we're called to be good stewards. Remember, we just defined that a second ago, but we're called to be good stewards of the resources and the possessions that God has given us. Now, this means using them wisely with the intention of building God's kingdom. Ooh, that can be a little tricky there. See, oftentimes we sit back and say, well, we want to use those, but we want to build our own kingdom. Remember what we talked about when it comes to stewardship. This means using these gifts wisely and with the intention of building God's kingdom, not your own. We must also guard against falling into the trap of materialism and hoarding possessions of our own gain. Now, sometimes folks sit back and say, well, you know what, that's not difficult to do. I can keep all of it into perspective. You know, I have heard so many people say that, and God actually gave them a chance. He let them try, and this includes me. He's like, okay, let me give you this, and let me let you be a good steward of it, and I failed miserably. So have a lot of other people, and I'm not saying that, from a prideful standpoint, or I'm not trying to, be something that I'm not, but you know what, I thought I could handle it, but I couldn't, and that's the reason why God has given me what I can handle. Now, I want to tell you this, God has always given me more than I deserve, I can tell you that, but every single time that God has ever come and knocked on my heart and said, I want to use some of my money that you're holding for this particular spiritual endeavor. And when I have been faithful, which now I'm a lot more faithful than I used to be, and I say, okay, Lord, it's all yours. Here it is. Here's what we do. God has turned around, and he's given that money back to me. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to do that for you by way of a check or cash or anything else, but I've tried to outgive God, and let me make you a promise. I have never succeeded in outgiving God. It comes back to you in many ways. It comes back to you in blessings. Sometimes it comes back to you monetarily. But anytime God says, listen, I want some of my money that you're holding to be used for my glory, when you do that, God is going to bless you immensely. Okay? Let us also remember to be rich toward God by not only investing our money, but investing our time. How about investing our talents that he's given us? How about, the resources that he's given us to further his kingdom? So let me ask you, how are you doing that today? Yeah, how are you investing your time? You know, it's really interesting that in today's society, some people have a hard time even coming to a worship service. They can't seem to find time to do that because everything else that the world is proposing is shoving God out, okay? And by the way, I'm not saying that church is what gets you to heaven, because obviously it doesn't. But boy, what a great time to be able to come together, to be encouraged in his word, and to be encouraged by other Christians, okay? So are you investing your time properly? Are you being a good steward of the time that God has given you? Are you being a good steward of the talents and abilities that he's giving you by using them for his kingdom? And are you being a good steward of the resources that he has given you to further his kingdom, rather than solely focusing on our own comfort and our own enjoyment? You remember what the guy said in this parable? He says, when I get all this done, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to take my ease, okay? And the Lord said, man, you're going to die tonight. This night your soul shall be required of you. Folks, God has never promised us our next breath. We could go into his kingdom. If we do so, have we been good stewards of all the things that he has so richly blessed us with? Time, talents, money, everything. Have we invested wisely for the sake of the kingdom? See, our ultimate goal should be to bring glory to God with all that we have been given. And I mean all that we have been given. Not just some of it, but everything. How are you being a good steward of what God has given you in light of what we're learning from our parable today? Okay? So as we consider these things, and as we start to wrap it down and close our time today, let us not be like the rich man in this parable who found his value and his purpose in earthly possessions. I think that is critically important, because you and I both know people who they place their value in their bank account. They place their value in their position or their status or their job or whatever else it may be. Folks, don't do that. Don't be like this rich man in the parable that we've read about, who had his value and his purpose simply in earthly possessions. Let me tell you that God has purpose for you, and it's not earthly. He's got a heavenly purpose for you. It is designed to enhance the kingdom, not the here and now, okay? Instead, let us seek to be rich toward God by using our resources for his glory. And advancing his kingdom, I like to call it horizontal and vertical relationships. And if you've listened to me for any amount of time, you know what I'm talking about. Too many times we're investing in the horizontal relationships. That's what's around us in the here and now. And yet God wants us to focus on our vertical relationship, the relationship that we have with Him. So if I were to ask you today, as the Holy Spirit prompts your heart right now, are your relationships more horizontal or are they more vertical? When it comes down to all the things that God has blessed you with, are your pursuits more horizontal or are they more vertical? Yeah, when you think about what you're investing in, your time, your tithe, your talent, are they temporal things, horizontal on this earth, or are they godly things that are out of this world? The Lord and the Word tells us that only the things that are done for the Lord are the things that are going to last. Those are the things that are going to make it onto eternity. And that's what the Word tells us when it says, lay up our treasures in heaven, not here on earth. So let us seek to be rich toward God by using our resources for His glory and to advance His kingdom. And may we also remember the fleeting nature of temporary riches and focus on what truly matters, and that is our relationship with God. You know, I promise that when you get that vertical relationship right, the horizontal takes care of itself. You know, when you're doing what it is that God has asked you to do and you're doing it with the right heart, you know, I mean, yeah, there have been some times, I don't want to say I've been a begrudging giver, but there have been some times when I'm like, Lord, I worked hard for this. I put a lot of effort and energy into it. And the Lord sat back and said, oh, you did? Well, who do you think gave you the ability by which to do that? Who do you think gave you the opportunity by which to do that? And I'm like, yeah, you're right. It's you. Here you go. And then the next thing you know, I turn around and God has given not only that back to me, He's given me so much more. Once again, I want you to understand, I'm not preaching prosperity theology because that is a lie straight from the pits of hell. The Bible does not teach prosperity theology. The Bible teaches that you be faithful and obedient and God will take care of your needs. Doesn't say anything about your wants, but He will take care of your needs. But you know what? When you're faithful, here's what I found out. When I've been faithful, God has not only taken care of my needs, He has far exceeded that and given me many of my wants. But you know what? That is a step of obedience. Are you taking that obedience? Okay? I pray that God will keep us from the trap of materialism and He'll help us to invest in eternal treasures, okay? That's what we want to do. We want to invest in the eternal treasures. We lay up our treasures not here on earth, but we lay up those treasures in that place called heaven. So I'm going to ask God to help us and keep us from being materialistic here in a moment, and I'm going to ask God to help us as we evaluate what it is that He wants us to do and how we can be drawn close through what we've learned in this particular parable today. So before I do that, I want to go ahead and tell you what our Bible reading for this week will be. This week, I'm going to be asking you to look at the scriptures in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Read that, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Next week, we're going to continue our look at the parables by discussing the wise and foolish versions from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, particularly verses 1 through 13. So, be read up on that. We would love to have you join us again this same time next week for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. Let me pray with you before we close our time together today. Father, as we come to you now, I pray that you will truly help us keep in proper perspective the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, I pray that we won't be caught up in the materialistic world that as it pulls all around us. But Father, rather we would look for the ways to take what you have blessed us with. Lord, that you have given us to be stewards over, and may we use them properly as you lead us and guide us. And Lord, may we be investing our time, our talents, and our tithe for the sake of the kingdom. Lord, may others be reached because we have been obedient to give in so many manners that you have gifted us. Lord, it's not just money, but it's also in many other ways. But may we be found faithful in at least all three of those ways with our time, with our talents, and with our tithe. And then, Lord, I pray that you will help us to see how you take care of us. Lord, that you can trust us to be a steward of what is yours, not what's ours, but what is yours. Lord, just help us to learn those lessons. Help us to be drawn close to you today. May the Holy Spirit convict the heart of the hearer today that we might be faithful and obedient to do what the Spirit is telling us to do right at this moment. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless each and every one of us in a special way this week for having come around your word. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Hey, folks, listen, thank you for joining us for our time around the Word in the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. As always, I want to invite you to join us for services. If you don't have a church home or if you happen to be passing through the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area on a Sunday, our service times starts at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. You can get all that information from our website, which you see listed on the screen there as well. And if you don't see it, it's www.oakridgecbc.org. It lists everything right there. We also have other opportunities throughout the week for discipleship. We've got a Sunday evening Bible study with Pastor David. We've got Awana for the kids. We've got some small groups, men and women's small groups, that we would love to have you be a part of. So we would love to have you join us as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist Church. May God bless you. I pray that He's going to draw you close and use you as you look for the divine opportunities that He gives you this week. God bless. Have a great week.